In Britain, students are taking to the streets in rebellion over a plan to charge them much more for a college education. Historically, most funding for universities has come from the state. But the British Education Ministry says that system isn't generating enough money and has led to a decline in the quality of higher education. NPR's Guy Raz reports from London, where students protested in Parliament Square.
About 100 self-consciously radical students decided to block the road in front of the Houses of Parliament. In a country where a packet of cigarettes now costs nearly $9, many of the students demonstrating against paying for university happily puffed away. Hannah Essex, a national student leader wearing a fashionable suit, was there to highlight the plight of Britain's students.
Students can't afford to pay their rent, they can't afford to buy food, they can't afford to buy their books. They're living in poverty. They're having to go out and work 20, 30 hours a week just to keep them alive. And that's not right. That's not how it should be in higher education system.
Next to Hannah, Joe Rukin, another leader on the National Union of Students, expressed outrage at the idea that the government could somehow ask students to help pay for higher education.
Tony Blair, he benefited from a free education, and many Labour MPs benefited from the same, and they are taking it away from the future generations.
Part of the reason why the government wants to change the way education is funded here is because under the current system, British universities are more than $80 million in the red.
Indeed, mathematicians have a word for what is being unleashed upon the higher education system in this country, and it's called chaos.
That's Michael Thorne, who, aside from being a mathematician, runs the University of East London. Like most university presidents, Thorne believes the country has no other choice but to make students pay. He points out that in real terms, British universities receive about 10% of the money per student that they got 50 years ago. The way money is spent at many of the country's elite institutions, he adds, is positively Victorian. Take Cambridge University, for example. A visitor to the university will discover impeccably manicured lawns and world-class flower gardens. Students can attend a formal dinner every night for the cost of an extra value meal at McDonald's. Yet Cambridge now has debts of around $40 million and a brain drain crisis with some of its top professors sauntering off to American universities. It's a trend affecting all British universities, and the Prime Minister is worried.
There's a reason why, if you look around the world today and you look at the top universities, whereas I reckon when I was at university, you would have put a lot of European universities in the top 40, 50. Actually, today, there would be a predominance of American ones, and, you know, there is a reason for that.
Tony Blair has decided to introduce a plan that calls for the abolition of any tuition fees up front. But once a student graduates and starts to earn a wage equal to the national average, he'll have to start paying the tuition back. The Blair plan means that, for the average graduate, the payment will amount to about $8 a week for 10 to 15 years. On top of that, it's entirely interest-free. It may sound like a dream proposal for American students, but Blair's actually risking his political career on this. The Prime Minister is fighting to win support from almost half of his party members in Parliament, who right now oppose the plan.
If you want to expand the numbers going into university, if you believe that universities are underfunded now, and that is apparently the consensus now, I'm afraid in the end there only are two ways of paying for it. It either comes out of some form of contribution from students, as well as the additional investment from the state, or it comes from general taxation.
To students, though, it amounts to a tax on the poor. Student leader Joe Rukin calls it the Americanization of the British education system.
University is becoming something for the rich, and with the greatest respect, I think that's probably what it is in the United States.
Actually, not really. The United States has the highest proportion of students enrolled in university in the world. Guy Raz, NPR News, London.